Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, produced by Shui Media, brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We're your friendly neighborhood podcast where we enjoy cold beverages and talking about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. You know me, folks. My name is Michael Sizemore. I've been following and writing about the Cowboys for many years, currently contributing to Blogging the Boys. You may follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore. Follow the podcast at Brews and the Boys and at Blogging the Boys on Twitter. With me, as always, he's the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour. Folks, my colleague at Blogging the Boys, the Walter Matthau of my Jack Lemmon, the Arn Anderson to my shit-talking Ric Flair, Mr. Tom Ryle.
Yay!
And you can find him on Twitter as well, at Tom Ryle, BTB. Let's get down to it. The Cowboys lose to the Rams in the divisional round. It's 30-22 is the final score. The game just got away from them from the beginning, but they still had a shot at the end, if not for some questionable play calling offensively, a little bit of just trouble defensively. But I want to spend less time talking about this game and more time talking about where we go from here, because the Cowboys made it to the divisional round, Tom. But once again, you know, they were thwarted. The last two times it's been by the Packers. Say what you will about, you know, the catch, no catch, all the other stuff that's been involved in these games. The Cowboys have that, you know, now have that sack in the grasp now play going on in this Rams one. But
yeah,
but the Rams just seemed like they just came out as a well-rested team, ready to win a home playoff game. And, you know, they were able to do it whenever the crowd was not very much, you know, just, it wasn't like a 70-30 there, you know, for the Rams. There was a lot of Cowboys fans.
Yeah.
So what was your take on the way the season ended in the divisional round here for the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I remember I had said probably 4 or 5 weeks earlier, when it looked like the Cowboys were going to make it into the playoffs, that I felt they had a good shot at going in and winning a wild card game, but probably couldn't get out of the divisional round.
Yeah,
you know, that's just because the team has some still fairly glaring flaws that they need to work on, and some issues that they were getting better at some things, but not at all of them.
So the
fact it was so disappointing, because we really got hyped up, you know, even though we had barely squeaked out a win, in the wild card run, we thought the Seahawks were really good. Maybe they weren't as good as we thought they were.
Yeah.
And the Rams are just a great team with a really dynamite offensive plan. They do things the Cowboys do not.
Yeah.
And so that's hard to prepare for a team that does things that you're not used to seeing, and the Cowboys had no exposure to it.
The stuff that they did behind the line, Tom, just kind of really confused the defense, you know, up front, the run defense especially.
Yeah, they clearly weren't ready for that.
No.
You know, and conversely, the Cowboys went out there and, you know, 4th and 1, so let's line up in the jumbo package and send Ezekiel Elliott right up the middle, which surprised absolutely no one.
No, that was, and honestly, you have everyone up at the line running it with Zeke Elliott. You probably would have been even better off trying it with your quarterback there. I mean, there's at least go up and sneak it or something. But yeah, there was a lot of different, just, there was things, like you said, there were problems that the Cowboys had all year round, and they never really fixed them. They just kind of got better at certain things, which is kind of like, I want to be a little bit of a question master to you today, Tom. And I want to talk about the staff in general, Jason Garrett. You know, Scott Linehan here, there's been a lot of calls for Scott Linehan's job all season long. You and I have never gotten off that. We've always been kind of there with the Scott Linehan thing. But there's also, you know, talking about this game in general and just saying how the Cowboys kind of need to move on to something that might be better for their quarterback, might be better for the team that they have, and maybe change up some of their style, just the way they do things. Do you think that Jason Garrett, though, is capable of doing something like that, or do you think he's going to find a coach that he just thinks can get these players to execute better the stuff that he already likes to do?
There's a lot of layers to that. And, you know, real quick, I also want to touch on the defense, you know, because they got a lot of blame for the loss to the Rams. But it struck me when I looked back at things that they did something that may be very important if the NFL is really moving into this, you know, offensive dominance thing that kind of got reestablished with the who wound up in the Final Four for the NFL. And that is, you have to be able to slow teams down. And the Cowboys forced the Rams to go only 2-for-4 in the red zone.
Yeah.
They forced them into 4 field goal attempts, which they converted 3. So that total kept 15 points off the board, which was how come the Cowboys were still in it.
Yes.
So, yeah, the defense was horrible against the run. They still managed to stiffen up a little bit. So that was, to me, something I take away that, you know, maybe we need to file that away as something that may not be that bad going forward.
Yeah. We can talk about the defense later, because I got a few opinions that are not necessarily line up with yours, but I definitely wanted to start offense, and you were about to talk about Dak.
Yes, we got to look at the fact that Dak Prescott really came on late in the season. You know, I was looking at some stuff for mulling over in a future post. He was not the problem.
Oh, no.
He actually kept the team in the game. Yeah, he missed some throws. All quarterbacks miss throws. Maybe he needs to miss a bit fewer of them, but he still was making a lot of plays when he had to make them.
Even guys that have criticized him a lot, like Jeff Kavanaugh and even Bob Sturm, to a sense, they both said that, you know, the same thing that you're saying here. Dak was the reason they were even in the game at the end, because he was playing so well on he was playing well with his position. He maybe missed a couple of throws, Tom, but from what I've looked at, looking back at the tape, you're talking about maybe 2. That happens to every quarterback in every game. 2 missing 2. That happens every week.
Yeah, and The failure wasn't the passing game. The failure was the running game.
Oh, yes. It was disastrous for that offensive line. They never got off their blocks.
And it was, you know, that was another case of that whole stubbornness argument.
Yeah.
That you know, maybe they should have just skipped it and gone to passing, especially on first down, and saved the run for when they could maybe catch them off guard, or maybe they had a second and real short, a third and real short. But don't go out there and be so predictable. Don't fall into it. Look at the numbers and look at what the game situation is.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where the whole thing comes going forward, is what are they going to do about offensive coordinator? I think it's fairly safe to say that, barring something a little bit weird, like falling over his sword or falling on his sword over Scott Linehan, Jason Garrett's going to be back for another year, possibly go ahead and get an extension. Now, what do they do about the offensive coordinator? Something happened just before we sat down to record this, and that was that Mark Colombo got a new contract for, I think, one more year to be the offensive line coach. And that's like, great, you know, he did a great job, really saw improvement from Lael Collins with him. But does that mean that if they're setting up the assistants, that they're not planning on making the change at the offensive coordinator? Because would anybody you interview for offensive coordinator want to come in and bring some of their own people? Or is that even in there? Do they have something in mind? Have they already kind of felt somebody out? So to me, this is kind of a little bit of a worrisome thing. if you're on the Fire Linehan train, because maybe it means it's not going to happen.
Well, that's one way you can look at it, but at the same time, they just hired Adam Gase at the Jets, and they knew all along they were going to go with Greg Williams as the defensive coordinator. Didn't matter what Gase was going to do when he came in. They were always going to go with him. But so I kind of look at it as Mark Colombo kind of earned a right to be there. He earned the right to stay there. Jason Garrett, for what you can say about all this season, you know, just the problems that they've had, I still believe that Garrett earned the right to be the coach next year because of the way they responded, for him. Now, Scott Linehan, I'm not ready to come off of that. I'm not ready to come off of Kellen Moore, because there are questions that we need answered, Tom, that we probably never will get answered. And those questions are this. How much of Dak Prescott's return to his, you know, greatness that we know of him, like the type of quarterback he is and what he's able to accomplish, how much of that was Scott Linehan helping him, or how much of that was just pure will and determination by him to be better? Because I would like to say that it was probably the second. I think that Dak really had a lot more to do with his recovery this season. And one of those things that I want to point to is this game, Tom, against the Rams at the end where they needed that touchdown. The team was coming up to the line and they were moving like slightly slow. And you could see Dak was getting upset with it because he was trying to rush everybody up. And Dak ends up running in that touchdown. Well, on his face, you could see that, yeah, he was happy that they got the score, but he was also distraught because he knew that they should have gotten that score maybe 40 seconds before that, 40 to 50 seconds that they could have saved by going, instead of running on second and 10 and running into a wall, like the play calls that were coming in. It just seemed like he was desperate to score, and it seemed like he said, that's it, I'm doing this right now. We don't have any more time to waste.
Yeah, and I think that the Cowboys are in better shape with him as a franchise quarterback than some want to believe. Is he ever going to be one of the five or six elite quarterbacks? I don't know that that's possible. Is he capable of being a winning quarterback because he brings that extra factor of his legs, and couple that with the fact that he is actually more accurate than a lot of people give him credit for? Yeah, I think he can be the guy this team needs to go all the way if they can get some other things fixed, like who's talking in his ear hole when he's getting the plays in. But I do not think he is the problem. Ezekiel Elliott is still a really good running back. The running game, however, needs something more. It can't just rely on Zeke getting his yards because he was all they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, they rolled with just Zeke and Rod Smith on the roster for the long time. And that seems to me like, okay, that's an awful important basket there. Maybe you need to have more eggs in that one.
Yeah, maybe you need a change of pace back. Maybe you need somebody, like, you just need more playmakers. I think that, you know, it's nice to see where Michael Gallup's came at the end of the year. You know, he had some great, you know, great plays in these playoff games especially, but just Michael Gallup, he did a really nice job. I think that he showed you what he can be in the future, and he quietly had a pretty good season for the rookie receivers and things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, he's a real positive sign.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a little bit of their defense, they may have planned to do more with Tavon Austin before he got hurt, you know, try to incorporate him more and more into the offense. And, you know, that just went by the wayside. But still, they really didn't have anything besides Zeke. And, you know, I hope that they keep that in mind in the draft, because you can get some good running backs on day three.
No, of
course. That might be a good time to go shopping for some.
Yes, exactly. I just think they need more. They just need more on offense. You know, they just need more playmakers, because you don't know if you're going to be able to re-sign Cole Beasley.
I doubt they will.
I doubt they would do that either, because I don't think that they see that they need to put that money in the receiver position like that into a slot receiver, you know, per se. Like, I know Cole Beasley is better than a lot of slot receivers, but it's still, that's what he's classified as in the NFL.
And I think that they have options coming up in the draft that they can look at. They've got Cedric Wilson, who got hurt back in camp, I believe.
Yeah, people tend to forget about him.
Yeah, and I think they have a lot of hope for him. Noah Brown kind of came on, so that doesn't hurt the situation.
No.
And so I think they've got some other possibilities, and they may be able to get Tavon Austin back on the cheap too, which might be a little help, you know. Yeah. So you throw that in. I think the tight end situation is a lot better than we anticipated after Jason Witten retired. Both Jarwin and Schultz came on really well late, and now they can probably get Swaim re-signed if they want to at a fairly low price because he was out all year, and you have to question how the market would be for him as a free agent. So they may have a pretty good rotation. I don't think Rico Gathers should be around because I think that experiment kind of failed, but no. That's just me.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I don't think that experiment really did that well for them. I don't think that he really, every time he got in the game, you're talking about not much happening there. And then this time he drops an easy pass that he could have converted for them and would have been a nice gain for them. So, yeah, I think that people need to, you know, calm down a little bit about what's going on because we've been telling folks for weeks, Tom, hey, this team has made a remarkable turnaround. You're talking about from 3-5 to where they got in winning the division. That's the first time in franchise history that's ever happened. Okay, but that's also to win a playoff game. That's only the seventh time in NFL history that that's happened. That a team has been 3-5 and won a playoff game. The Cowboys are the seventh team to do that. The Colts were 3-5 and got to the playoffs this year, did not win. Or they did win a playoff game too, so they're the eighth there. But these things don't happen very often. And you know, the teams that are in it at the end, as you mentioned, Tom, these are all the best teams that were in the league this year. The best teams in the AFC were the Patriots and the Chiefs, no matter how many, you know, the Patriots lost a few more games than they wanted to, but they were still going to be there in the end. You knew that. The Chiefs have been great all year round. You got the Rams. These are the top offenses, and the Patriots are the top defense left in the playoffs. All these really great defenses got eliminated.
Yeah, and it's worth noting this is the top four scoring offenses in the league.
Yep.
And as you said, there's only one kind of really top level defense that's left, and that's the direction it's going, and that's where I think the Cowboys are going to need to focus. And again, the question is, are they going to have the right offensive coordinator in place to do this? Are they going to be willing to change? You know, I know that people have just really slobbered about Sean McVay, but one thing he does that I love is that he runs almost everything out of 11 personnel.
Yeah.
You can't look at who's on the field and get a real clue about what's coming because they could run, they could pass, you know. They do everything out of that. They use the motion and the, you know, both pre-snap and after the snap to try and move the defense around and get the opportunities. And look how brilliantly they did it against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Why can't they look at that? The shotgun 11 and 11 personnel have been pretty good for the Cowboys, and why not just focus more on that? Throw out the jumbo. Don't worry about going with 22s or 13 personnel. You know, just go out there and do something that you've seen work, that you've got a model for. Maybe you need some new brains. You know, if Linehan was just willing to quit being so stubborn and insisting that, you know, I made this work in 2014, I'm going to make it work now. Let's just throw that out and move ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I agree. I think that that's the reason that I would still look to make a change at offensive coordinator, because I don't think that he wants to do anything differently than what he's been doing. And he shows you in games, especially games like this one against the Rams, it killed him because they would not change. They would not change from running into these just, you know, completely swallowed up at the line of scrimmage for Zeke Elliott. They just kept running their heads into a wall, and it just did not work out for them. And you've seen, like, games like the Giants where, you know, we've been heard that Jason Garrett had a little bit more to say in these last couple of games. Well, this one here, I mean, some of the play calling, giving that back to Scott, given some of the things that we saw, just It made no sense, and you had a chance at the end, but you took it away from yourself with the calls that you made.
Yep. And just saw an update come across on Twitter that Colombo got a 3-year deal.
3-year deal. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great for him. I still we're going to wait for that other shoe to drop and find out, but we can speculate madly, but until we actually, as I like to say, until the Johnny Walker blue drinking guy sings, it ain't over.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about just the defense and touch on the defensive performance in this game against the Rams and just some of my disconnections with Tom here on some of the things that happened in this game. We'll be right back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. We are back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. Tom Ryle, BTB. You can find him on Twitter at Tom Ryle, BTB. Myself, Mr. Sizemore. You can find me on Twitter. You can find the show at Brews and the Boys. We're talking about the Cowboys and the Rams, but we're also talking about just some of the changes that are going on. Right before then, you had mentioned that Mark Colombo signed a 3-year deal. So everyone needs to keep their eyes on what the Cowboys coaching staff is going to look like, because there might be some changes coming through. But the Cowboys, I want to congratulate them on the type of season that they had, just because of where they came from and where they are. I know people don't like those consolation type of congratulatories, but it is kind of a big deal for them to do what they did. And one of the reasons they did that is because their defense had played really, really well up into this game with the Rams. And, I wrote a column on BTB about this being a sobering loss, a lesson for them. Just a lesson to sober the hot boys up a little bit, because they were pretty ice cold in this game, and they never really got the hang of it. They were always kind of chasing the running back, chasing C.J. Anderson, chasing Todd Gurley. They let two running backs hit over 100 yards. The Cowboys had only let 5 of those happen all season long, 2 of them in this game, and 4 of them in the last several weeks. They let it happen in the Giants game. They let it happen again in the they let these two happen as well. But still, the Cowboys' run defense was something that they were supposed to be pretty good at, but you saw linebackers in pursuit mode all night. Leighton Vander Esch, who is going to the Pro Bowl. It was announced today that he is going to be a Pro Bowl alternate there. Leighton Vander Esch just didn't have a great game. Jalen Smith, he didn't have a great game either. Sean Lee went in there, and things got a little bit even dicier than they were before. This game, to me, like you had mentioned, that, it's not Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott played pretty well in this game, that you can't really blame this loss on Dak. But I just want people to know that some of these things that the defense that you saw, Tom, in this game, these were things that if we would have paid close attention to those last 8 games, you could make an argument that the offense carried the defense a lot too, that the offense got things going for the defense that was giving up a lot of plays in big averages that you did not really think about because of the way they were able to win.
Yeah, and you were seeing the defense have struggles for games before this one.
Yes.
As you mentioned, they gave up the 100-yard Saquon Barkley. They were having problems stopping the other team all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I think they need to go in real hard and look at what was happening there and figure out what went wrong and why what worked so brilliantly early in the season just came apart on them.
Yeah, because, back early in the season, the Cowboys were ranked in top 10 in everything but takeaways. They were top 10, and they were only allowing about 18 first downs a game. They were allowing a 3.5 average rush per run. They were getting like 3 sacks a game, and they were also keeping quarterbacks under the 7 yards per pass mark. They were up there in everything you can think of, even in touchdowns they allowed to be scored. But when you get to those last eight games, that's when the Cowboys really started to struggle a lot. You started to see that they were not getting pressure. They were not getting sacks. They were allowing running backs to go for over 4 yards a carry. They were given, you know, 2 to 3 more first downs per game than they had done before. They were giving up at least another touchdown per game that they had done before. Now, they were getting turnovers a little. They were getting a few turnovers. They were top, you know, one of the top 10 teams in that. But you're talking about in a passing game, they were towards the end. They were ranking towards the back of it. And then explosive plays, Tom, was the big thing for them. Explosive plays. They gave up. They were giving up lots of explosive plays towards the end of the year, and that was something that you just that they couldn't do. But their offense was getting explosive plays, so that's why they were able to disguise that, Tom. They were getting 25 yards per average on explosive plays, had 53 of them in the last eight games with 11 touchdowns, which was first in the NFL. The Cowboys offense had 371 yards per game, was averaging 2.5 touchdowns per game. But think about, Tom, those games that they had, you know, towards the end of their, the Falcons, the Redskins, the Saints, the Buccaneers, Seahawks, all those games that they led with, you know, just a little over 2 minutes to play, and they ended up winning every single one of them by a possession.
Yeah, they wound up giving up those late points, which, okay, you had the 2-score lead, so you give up a score, you're probably okay, but you're playing with fire like that, and why couldn't they put the stop on and go ahead and hammer that nail in the coffin? There are some issues. The defense still has some really good players to work with.
Yes.
And look, I think that it's kind of a bright spot that they're still a young defense. Mm-hmm. So there's still some learning and some growth that we can hope for. But, you know, we don't need to be absolutely certain that this is all set and good to go. You know, they're going to have to pay DeMarcus Lawrence to bring him back. And then they've got to figure out who they're going to have to build around him. They've got Antoine Woods, who was a great find. I think Malik Collins is really solid. Everybody else right now is kind of a little unproven, with Randy Gregory kind of on the ascension. And now we've got to see if he can carry that into 2019.
Oh, well, Gregory by far was their best pass rusher towards the end of the year, the last like 4 or 5 games.
He was
the guy getting the most pressures. But, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence has also been dealing with a shoulder problem that he had all year round. What I want to say about the defense in this game is that, you know, they got outcoached. They got outcoached big time. They were not able to counter a lot of the stuff that the Rams were doing. Now, you could say that, yes, they stopped them a few times, had them kick a couple of field goals, but that running game that was on display just kind of battered this defense. It just made them – It humbled them.
Yeah.
It dismantled them.
And they were – I mean, you have to look. The linebackers were obviously struggling, but the defensive linemen were just getting blown out.
They were getting washed out of the holes. They weren't disciplined. And that's the one thing you could say about the Rams defense, Tom. They actually hit their gaps.
Yeah. Yes. And – It was so frustrating because
C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, he would just get there, and there was nobody near him. Gurley would get to the line, and there's nobody near him.
No, it's like,
you know, okay, which way do I go from here? Because there's nothing but green.
Yep, exactly. You know, so that's kind of all I really wanted to talk about as far as the game goes, but let's talk about real quick, just hit on this coaching stuff that's going on. I don't know how you go through the season that you did, even with the turnaround and everything, and still keep Scott Linehan. But I did see an opinion from Brian Broaddus today that said he thought, why not let these coaches all coach on the last year of their deal? Just let most of these coaches just coach on the last year of their deal and see what you want to do after that.
Yeah.
See if anything changes.
Yeah. I kind of thought that was this year, though.
No.
You know, the past season that they kind of were supposed to be coaching and see if anything changes. Well, it didn't. Why give them another year to see if it changes if some key things didn't? Yeah. And, you know, now that we know Colombo's on a 3-year deal, I'm kind of interested to see. I'm like you. I hope he's not handcuffed to Linehan coming back as OC, because, you know, I could see if they're going to extend Garrett maybe 3 or 4 years, and they've got, you know, his offensive line coach, and then maybe they're going to build around him. And, you know, there is the possibility that they may consider a promotion from within for the offensive coordinator, in which case the whole thing of having his own people probably wouldn't really matter, because he already knows the staff and who he's working with. And there's, you know, three possible candidates that I saw. I think it was our co-writer, David Howman, that wrote about the running back coach, Gary Brown, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe Nussmeier, the tight ends coach, or Sanjay Law might be considered.
I would go and look at some of the quarterbacks coaches in the NFL, guys that have never been able to have that opportunity to call their own offense, but you could see they have done good jobs with the quarterbacks that they have. That would be, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs have a pretty nice quarterbacks coach that I would like to look at there and just give an opportunity to. Maybe you never know, but they need something. I think that this is going to be very important for Jason Garrett to find, if he's going to tie himself to Linehan this next season, and it doesn't go well, then I think Linehan and Garrett will be out.
Yeah, I think that's something that you'd hope Garrett would realize. That would be the risk with it, that he really want to hitch his wagon to Linehan at this point. And if you're going to be looking for at quarterback coaches in the league, I'd be looking at them to replace Kellen Moore first off.
Yeah, I'd be looking at a replacement for Kellen Moore. I'd be looking at a replacement for Scott Linehan, because I don't think that – I think Garrett needs to see that, you know, the same thing we're seeing, which is not a lot of your problems really got fixed.
And I'm not really sure exactly how much blame can be laid at Kellen Moore's feet. I don't know what he brings to offer, and there's the unquestioned fact that the guy is Linehan's, you know, favored child.
Yeah, and I didn't think that he really had a job these last few weeks, because Dak Prescott did a lot of this stuff on his own.
It seemed like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to question that. And, you know, there's a lot of things that they could do. Now we're, you know, got to hope that they do the right things.
Yeah, because I think that this is going to be a very important call for Jason Garrett. If he decides to move on to an offensive coordinator, it's going to be the most important one he's ever hired. So I think it's going to be a big deal.
Yep.
Okay.
So, well, it's going to be an exciting couple of days, I think, until we get these answers.
Exactly. And that's all we got for you guys today, really, because there's no answers yet. But we will try to get back to you as soon as possible, as soon as we find out anything that's going on with the Cowboys here. You know, we really appreciate you guys joining us for another episode of The Brewers and the Boys. Thank you for listening. We are produced by SB Nation through the Vox Media Podcast Network and Shway Media. Remember to leave us a review in iTunes if you can. Follow him at Tom Ryle BTB. Follow me at Mr. Sizemore. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Brewers and the Boys. Check bloggingtheboys.com for all things Dallas Cowboys. You know, the Cowboys did make it to the NFC Championship. They're one of three teams to not make it to the NFC Championship in the last 20 years. But there's always next season. The Cowboys did do a lot this year for a team that was 3-5 at the halfway point. Tom and I will be back in your ears every week, guys. The Cowboys might be out of the playoffs, but that doesn't mean that we're going to stop talking about them or go on any hiatus here. We'll be back with you guys as soon as we can. Have a great night, Cowboys Nation. Take care.
Brews and the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit brewsandtheboys.com.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech. Why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.